friends, welcome to another Friends of France Tuesday. We're technically 2 weeks into the new year of 2026, and boy, I have had so much stress the past few days and week that I'm so torn between wanting to go back to mid-2025 or just fast-forwarding straight to 2027 and hoping for the best. Anyone else? Well, sometimes life just hits you and you just accept your fate. Anyways, on a lighter note, I think all of these stresses do produce one good quality in us. Resilience, hopefully. Is that toxic positivity or just mere coping mechanism? Most probably, but I will take it. Kidding aside, isn't it so interesting that the dichotomy of both crushing stress and formidable resilience all arise from the same body system? Maybe one that many of us may not think of. Yes. The endocrine system. Many of you might think, what the hell is that? A complex, multidisciplinary, multifaceted, and all-encompassing system comprised of 8 to 10 organs that I hated studying the most in nursing school because there was just so much to know. Unlike the heart, fine, 4 chambers, different coronary arteries, 2 functions of mechanical and electrical, but at least it makes sense since they all work in sync to power this one organ. But the endocrine system? Dear God. I have PTSD from learning all of this. Beyond memorizing and understanding the 8 to 10 organs, like the hypothalamus, pituitary, thyroid, parathyroid, adrenal, pineal, pancreas, testes in males, ovaries in females, you name it. The hormones secreted by each one that you had to memorize, and the pathways they lead to, and the feedback loops they're involved in, Just kill me. But I hate it because ultimately it makes sense. Because the endocrine system is so important. Hormones. Chemical messengers that keep our body in balance. Hormones quietly orchestrate everything from our energy and metabolism to mood, sleep, and what we said before, resilience. Acting as an internal communication network that responds to stress, environment, and lifestyle. But sometimes, as usual in the body, some things go awry. Sometimes hormones are overproduced. Sometimes underproduced, like in hypothyroidism. Sometimes tumors secrete hormones. And sometimes we grow resistance to hormones. Now, what happens then? Well, we're all in great luck today because I am joined by a hormone expert to talk all about this. From hormone pathways to the buzzword endocrine disruptors, to saunas and cold plunges that are said to biohack hormones, and to adrenal fatigue. I am so honored to be joined by my dear friend and co-Thai food lover, Dr. Priya Jaisinghani, a triple board certified endocrinology, obesity medicine, and internal medicine physician from New York City. Dr. Jaisinghani received her medical degree from Rutgers Robert Wood Johnson Medical School, where she also completed her internal medicine residency, and then endocrinology and obesity medicine fellowships at Weill Cornell Medicine. And currently, Dr. Jaisinghani is a diabetes, metabolism, and obesity medicine attending physician at NYU Langone Health, clinical assistant professor of medicine at NYU Grossman School of Medicine, and a medical unit contributor at ABC News. What an icon! That's my friend! Okay, are you ready? Let's get to learning. Let me put you through the trauma that I went through in nursing school that the endocrine system gave me. Okay, let's go. Sometimes, it's not time that heals all wounds, but flowers steeped gently into a cup of tea. Inspired by founder Lisa Lee's own healing journey from thyroid disease and burnout, the Chi is a wellness brand based in New York City on a mission to help people feel more joy, calm, and connection through the power and beauty of flowering teas. The Chi was born from the discovery of rare, single-origin whole flower teas rooted in centuries-old Eastern rituals. Each bloom is hand-picked at peak vitality by small family-owned farms across Asia to offer a grounding, sensorial experience that reconnects you to yourself, one cup at a time. Choose from the Shangri-La Rose, Blue Lotus, and the Royal Chrysanthemum and get 15% off at the-chi.com. That's THE-QY.com with the code FRANZ. That's FRANZ. One-time use and cannot be combined with other codes. Drink flowers, feel alive.
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the Friends of France podcast, and today I am so excited and so honored to introduce to you our special guest. Not only is she a rock star of a physician, great educator, but also such a good friend to me, Dr. Priya Jaisinghani. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you. I'm so honored to be here, truly. Very, very excited to have a great conversation with you today.
Oh my gosh, the honor is all mine. You know, today we're going to talk about so many things that have been bugging people's minds and quote unquote messing with their hormones, literally. It's just a lot to talk about today. But before all of that, can you please introduce yourself to everybody?
First, so we're here to solve it all today. But my name is Priya Jaisinghani. I'm an endocrinologist and obesity medicine expert at NYU. And, you know, I come from very humble beginnings. So I am a first generation doctor here from an immigrant family, and no one in my family is a doctor. So I grew up kind of being a science kid, Discovery Channel kid, and I was very intrigued by science. Also got to witness how my parents, my family received healthcare, right? Not coming from a science background, and sometimes walking out of doctor's offices, not knowing why they got referrals, not knowing really what happened, the quick in and out visits, and also struggling with family history of chronic diseases, diseases that really ravage certain communities, like living with obesity, living with type 2 diabetes. And when I was very young, when I was 9, my grandmother passed of a massive heart attack, and that really left an impact on me. And so I went on to pursue endocrinology, and specifically was looking at the intersection between endocrinology and metabolic disease. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I also decided to pursue obesity medicine along with endocrinology.
Yeah, I love that so much. And you're right about, you know, those influences of family having chronic disease. And just, I guess, the reality that outside of us who work in healthcare, medicine and healthcare is so complex and so hard to understand, right? Even my mom, who's a nurse, sometimes she goes to doctor's visits and she's like, yeah, I don't know what I need to do next. And I can't imagine how true that is to, or more true for people and families who are not within medicine, right? Because medical literacy, especially here in the United States too, it's not at an all-time high. And just the field in itself is so complex, and health is so complex. And so I hope we get to, and we will, break down many of those questions today. And specifically within your field of endocrinology, which is such a long word and so complex and so intricate. I remember during nursing school, I'm so sorry, but endocrinology was literally my least favorite block, because I'm like, I have to know this and this and this and this. So for those who may not know, what is the field of endocrinology all about? Like, which, I can't even say which organ does it cover. Which organs does it cover and entail?
That's so true. You know, when I was applying for a fellowship, my grandfather told me, he said, what's that doctor that treats blood sugars? What is that called? And I said, endocrinologist. He said, yeah, you should become that. And I didn't know that's what I was applying for. Yeah. You know, so it just turned out that way. But you're right. Very complicated systems. Well, endocrinology is the study of the endocrine system, right? And the endocrine system is going to comprise of organs and glands that are going to secrete hormones into the bloodstream, which are going to act on target tissues to complete vital functions of the body, which are essential. And you're absolutely correct. This is a multi-system, multidisciplinary field, right? So most people, when they think about hormone secreting glands, organs, tissues, they think about the hypothalamus, the pituitary, adrenal glands, parathyroid, thyroid, right? Pancreas, all of these kind of organs that they think about that are producing hormones. But what we don't think about is that every organ system is affected by hormones. And so this is truly multi-system and all-encompassing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just the pathways too of these hormones and all these negative feedbacks and positive feedbacks. I mean, honestly, props to all endocrinologists out there. But you know, the human body is not perfect at most times, and things go awry. And I can't imagine when hormonal systems or hormones in itself go awry. What are the usual endocrine conditions that then we encounter from these?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. So as endocrinologists, one of the things that we study is not only the hormones and the glands that produce them, but basically how things are running right and what happens when they're running wrong. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the disease states that we think about, you know, can kind of be broken down into hormone overproduction, hormone underproduction, or tumors that are secreting hormones or resistance to certain hormones, right? And so some of the disease processes that come along with that might be insulin resistance, prediabetes, diabetes, PCOS, menopause, also transitional phases, right? Low testosterone, osteoporosis, pituitary tumors. There's so much that's involved when it comes to endocrinology, but it can really be broken down into some of those subsets, whether it's, you know, the overproduction or underproduction or resistance or tumors.
Yeah. And hello to my mom with her hypothyroid self. Hello. I know she's still listening. And I guess with these under and overproduction of hormones, especially within our current state of social media, we see so many videos and so many quick 10-second TikTok vids of things that people try to manage at home when it comes to these, you know, over or underproduction of these hormones. So people just want to, quote unquote, balance their hormones. And that leads into the conversations and a very consumerism conversation of supplements. Is it actually possible to balance our hormones with supplements? Are there supplements that you're more favorable about?
You know, Christian, the endocrine system is such a beautiful symphony that is so complex and orchestrated by exactly what you said, you know, different rhythms of hormones, different feedback loops of hormones, different levels of hormones, that it would be very unlikely that a single supplement or a single sauna session is going to magically rewire this system, right? Or fix it or hack it in just a single sitting, right? And so I think you're right. In this field, it's very important, I think, especially to have conversations with your doctor at every step of the way, because we are bombarded with information every day, especially with social media, right? And I think it can be a great tool. But it's really, really important to really dissect the data behind the information that you're seeing on social media every day. And that's why I think it's important to go in and have conversations with your doctor and say, hey, I saw this. What do you think about this, right? I think particularly with supplements, it's very important to think about what is the purpose of using that supplement, right? What are you trying to achieve with that supplement, right? And I would go in and have that conversation with your doctor of, I saw this. This is my goal. This is what I was thinking. And then go on to ask about what is the data or lack of data that there is behind some of these supplements. And also another thing which people don't think about often is, are these supplements going to pose a risk to other medications that I have, pose a risk to other health conditions that I have, right? Whether we're talking about natural ingredients or manufactured medications, right? Everything comes with risk and benefit. At the end of the day, we want to watch out for our safety.
Yeah, definitely. And that's such a good way to put it, because I feel like every time I scroll online, there's a new supplement that someone's saying, instead of Synthroid, take this supplement, which will level your thyroid hormones, or cold plunging and saunas every day will biohack your hormones. All these buzzwords that we see all the time, right?
Trendy. There's always trends, right? And I think we have to really sift through some of those trends, right? I tell my patients often who come in, you know, if you're looking at data and you could run that study in your house, you know, a house gathering or a backyard wedding, that's probably not a big enough study, right? So we want to get studies that have lots of people, that are generalizable, that are randomized, that are double blinded, maybe that have a placebo, or, you know, are really ingrained in true science, right? We want science-backed, evidence-based interventions that can help us.
Definitely. And that's such an important point, but I have an even more important question. Yes. Do you have a favorite hormone and why?
That's a great question. So, you know, hormones are interesting. I probably have two that I'll tell you about that are my favorite. You know, hormones are the messengers of the body. They're chemical signals that get released into the bloodstream and act on target tissues. You know, endocrinology is a field, we have so many hormones. And I think, you know, insulin is an hormone that really bodes to the history of endocrinology for me, you know, having been for over a century. And when I think about insulin, I think about all those categories that we were talking about in terms of what effects hormones can have, right? If you have no production of insulin, we see that in type 1 diabetes. If we have resistance to insulin, we see that in insulin resistance, prediabetes, diabetes. We also see it in PCOS, but it can also affect other organs like the liver. When we see it in MASH and MASLD, formerly known as fatty liver disease, we've also seen tremendous transformation with new devices over time with insulin. We went from syringes to now having insulin pumps, right? Where people have better quality of life with managing disease processes like diabetes, where people may have died in the past from these diseases or complications of these diseases. I think the other hormone that I really think about, if I think about insulin as the history and the elegance and the complexity and the transformation, I also think about GLP-1s, right? As our current and future. You know, GLP-1s were like the underdog until about two decades ago. GLP-1 is a hormone that always existed in our body, but we just tapped into it, right? About two decades ago with drugs like, you know, Byetta, Hyperion, exenatide coming out, and then also seeing the progression, right? With semaglutide and seeing how that can not only help disease states like living with diabetes or living with obesity, but also helping with cardiometabolic health, right? Cardiac disease. So I think we're seeing the transformation of really tapping into and understanding certain hormones in our body. And I think we have a great pipeline in the future that may help us through even other hormones.
I love it. My choice would have been melatonin. Just let me sleep, please.
Imagine if skincare could do more, but with less. Meet Remsen, a New York brand made in South Korea, where world-leading innovation meets the no-nonsense energy of New York City. Their essential duo keeps it effective and efficient with high-quality ingredients. Their Gentle Greens Cleanser, featuring green tea, centella, and aloe, cleanses without drying. And the multitasking peptide moisturizer combines bakuchiol, ceramides, and a clinically proven dose of peptides in a single lightweight step to hydrate, strengthen the skin barrier, and help prevent visible signs of aging. Both are safe for sensitive and acne-prone skin types, vegan, cruelty-free, and beautifully packaged with sustainable materials, making the set a great gift. You can get 20% off your first purchase on remsenskincare.com. That's R-E-M-S-E-N skincare.com with the code FRANZ. That's F-R-A-N-Z. One-time use and cannot be combined with other codes. Get maximal results with minimal steps. We long for what's natural, yet often hide it with layers. And today's soap market is no different, crowded with products that are harsh and overly processed. Born in Seoul, South Korea, Chai Minu was made to bring things back to something simpler, something intentional. Each handcrafted bar of soap is cold processed in small batches, using only natural oils and botanical powders. It is then cured and air dried for over 1,000 hours, letting the bar harden naturally for a gentler feel and a longer life. It all began with a mother searching for relief for her son's sensitive skin and her refusal to settle for harsh liquid soaps or quick-made bars. Let your skin experience the byproduct of patience, simplicity, and a mother's love for 15% off at shybinu.com. That's shybinu.com with the code FRANZ. That's FRANZ.
I wanted to tie in that word of your field again, endocrinology. Within this word, I think there's been a buzzword that's been around for the past few years that I'm sure people have heard about, whether it's online or on a Reddit forum somewhere there, or even a social media post or a WhatsApp text chain with your family members. Endocrine disruptors, this huge buzzword. What are endocrine disruptors? Do they actually exist? And I guess, how do they work?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So we have been hearing a lot about EDCs, right? And disrupting chemicals. And those are things that can exist in your environment that may mimic, block, or alter the way your body is receptive to certain hormones. So remember, hormones are chemical messengers that are going to go into the bloodstream, reach a target tissue, and kind of orchestrate some action. What happens with endocrine disrupting chemicals is that these chemicals may actually bind to the receptor of the hormone on the target tissue and kind of orchestrate some other process in that target tissue. It may block that hormone. It may, you know, change the way that hormone is interacting with that tissue. And endocrine disrupting chemicals are everywhere. You can encounter them in the air. You can encounter them through touch. You can encounter them in the water, you know, through your skin. You can encounter them with chemical wastage that's in the soil that reaches water that comes through the food chain, right? And it can be found in so many different things, whether that's pesticides, you know, flame retardant clothing, garments, cosmetics, fragrances. It can really be found in a variety of things, even cleaning products, right? So we're exposed to things that can also alter our hormones and how our body is reacting to our natural hormones, right? And I think there has been a lot of talk about it. I think it's important to be aware of the fact that EDCs exist. There is some conjecture about low levels, high levels, long-term, what that means in terms of outcomes. But I think just knowing that they exist, being aware of them is really important. Many people are still not aware of them. And I think also knowing how to maybe minimize some of those effects or seeking some of those alternatives, right? So maybe sometimes it can be as simple as thinking about, for example, plastic, right? Maybe avoiding storing food in plastic or avoiding heating it up in plastic or washing your fruits and vegetables with water before consuming them, minimizing your consumption of processed food, but also paying attention to policies, right, that are going around in your local national government. So I think that's really important to be aware, because we always talk about in endocrinology that it's a juxtaposition between your genetics and your environment. You know, I get this question a lot in my office where people are like, well, how does the environment affect our hormones, right? And this is one way that it can affect your hormones, right? And we know that there's links to endocrine disrupting agents because they affect hormones, what that could lead to, right? So there are links to exposures leading to different reproductive changes, fertility changes, endometriosis, nervous system function, immune system function, heart health. So there's a lot of repercussions and sequelae that you can face because of certain exposures. Now, obviously, we live in the real world, right? So we're exposed to a lot of different things. So I think it's a fine balance. We can't quite avoid maybe everything, but we can avoid some things, yes. Right? And so again, it's just about that balance. We love that word in endocrinology, right?
Yeah, I know. Actually, to be honest with you, balance has been the theme of all the episodes recently, even from when we were starting out this season with more of, you know, traditional medicines that we know of from the East. There's all about balance and harmony. And even as we go more into these topics of more allopathic and Western medicine, it's also all about balance. You know, a few episodes ago, we had Dr. Tim on, who's an oncology hospitalist. And we talked more about the areas of microplastics and PFAS when it comes to, I guess, more of an oncological risk. And one thing that we touched upon was about the fear mongering that we see online, mostly from, I would say, influencers who have no education or expertise or a license to talk about some of these precautions, so and so. And one thing that we talked about too was about that balance when it comes to lifestyle, where we don't have to live in constant apprehension of what to avoid when it comes to oncological risk. And it seems like it's the same for all this endocrinological and hormonal aspect, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think most people that come into my office own one of the cell phones that are out. And, you know, we tend to charge it right next to our heads at night. And I always tell people, you know, we need to find some sort of balance. We are living in this world. We can keep out for certain things. We can mitigate some of those risks. But really, you know, I find the focus needs to be shift to some basic things that we don't talk about, right? A lot of times people are looking for quick fixes, the biohacking that you were talking about, right? And I always am telling them, why are we not looking for science backing, right? Why are we not looking for science-backed interventions, right? That are actually quite hard to do consistently in our lives, right? So the things that everyone deems that may be mundane and boring, I think are very important. The things that are less talked about in doctor's offices, I think need to be talked about more. For example, when it comes to having a nutritious diet, right? Seems too simple, but you know, are you getting your protein? Are you getting your fiber, right? And I often tell my patients, more than 9 out of 10 people in this country don't meet their fiber goal. Right? Mm-hmm. We come up with all these fancy words, we're fiber maxing, right? You know, and you mean the thing I've been talking about for years in my office about meeting your fiber goals that has a new name now? Okay. But, you know, whatever it's called, we need to pay attention to our protein, our fiber, our water intake, right? Our sleep, like you were mentioning, the quality of it, the quantity of it. What about social interaction, connection with other humans? Going out for a walk in nature, you know, breathing fresh air, right? Some very simple things, which are very, very important, you know, mindfulness, meditation, all of these things that we don't quite pay so much attention to. So I think sometimes going for more of the science-backed interventions that require a lot of energy and attention, commitment, consistency are going to serve you much better in the long run than going for quick fixes, which are marketed well.
Yeah, I love that so much. Yeah, I know, I super agree. I mean, I feel like also in the world now of Dr. Google and Dr. ChatGPT, right? I feel like everyone's just, even in our office too, everyone's just like, I saw this online, I saw that online, what is true, what is this? And we kind of approach it with empathy, right? Because it's so true, there's so much information online. Some of the times it's conflicting or it goes viral and it's so hard to sometimes track the source of the information. So there's just so many things online. And that's why I'm so grateful that we have, you know, physicians and educators like you who help kind of bring to light these topics. And one of the topics that I want to talk about is, and it's connected to a buzzword that we'll talk more, but I wanted to precursor it with this conversation about stress. I think when people think of stress, many people may think that it belongs to the field of, let's say, more of the psyche of psychology and psychiatry. I feel like people are unaware that stress in itself and the pathways of it have a very endocrine basis, right? From an endocrine standpoint, what is stress? And I guess, can you lead us along that quote unquote stress pathway and the hormones involved with it that leads us to be stressed?
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely correct. It's a lot of hormones that interplay in that pathway. So stress, in the most simple way, is a perceived threat, right? To you, your body, your system, right? So if your body has a perceived threat, your brain is going to recognize that and send out a distress signal. And that's going to reach and activate your sympathetic nervous system, right? And the sympathetic nervous system is like the SOS of your body, right? It sends out that fight or flight response. And it's going to activate another gland, right? The adrenal glands, which are going to start secreting hormones, whether that's adrenaline, cortisol, epinephrine, amongst all these other things. And what is that going to do? That's going to prepare your body for this fight or flight response. It's going to dilate your airways, providing more oxygen. It's going to shift your blood flow to major muscles, organs, lungs, heart, right? It's going to release blood sugar so you have energy. It's going to really increase your awareness, heightened awareness. It's going to decrease your pain signal. So you're kind of ready. And that's what your body does. It puts you in this overdrive state. And once this perceived threat has kind of subsided, that system kind of dampens down and some of those hormones start to fall. And you have another system that kicks in, which is your parasympathetic system, right? Which is your rest and digest phase, right? So these are all hormones that kind of orchestrate these stress responses, but also the cooling down responses.
Yeah, I love that. And there is a difference though, right? When it comes to the perceived threats that's just there at that moment. And then I think more of an elongated term. Let's say, I don't know, you're going on your first day and you feel the quote unquote
Butterflies,
or maybe a little bit nervousness. Is there a difference when it comes to like the effect in the body from that specific, you know, singular moment of stress as opposed to like a more chronic type of stress, I guess that's longstanding? Or I don't know if you have a definition of what chronic stress is.
Yeah, I would say there's a difference between what we would call an acute stress and a chronic stress, right? During that acute stress, like I said, you'll have that kind of dampening down, that switching off. But when it's a chronic stress, you're kind of in overdrive, right? And if you think about, for example, a motor in overdrive, eventually if that motor is in overdrive for too long, something's going to happen to that motor, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to start getting damaged, right? Mm-hmm. And the same thing happens in the body, right? So if you're constantly in a state of overdrive for too long, you might have weakening of blood vessels, right? Weight gain, risk of heart disease, raised blood pressure, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of things can happen if your system is in overdrive for too long. And I often tell my patients, this is not really about when people say, just don't stress. That's silly, right? We are humans. We're going to react to certain things and we're going to be stressed, right? No one is magically living in this universe without any stress, mm-hmm. right? I think what is important is to equip yourselves with ways to deal with stress, right? And sometimes building what we call maybe stress resilience tool package, mm. right? For yourself. Like, is it really worth me stressing about my nail getting chipped right now? I don't know, right? I got bigger fish to fry, right? Or practicing tools that actually will help with even resilience for your hormones, right? Cortisol resilience or your perceived reaction to that stress, right? So mindfulness and meditation are really well studied for that, right? Engaging in healthy habits, right? Like we were talking about, going on walks, doing physical activity, strength training, maintaining social connections. Mm-hmm. Those are really proven ways to kind of reduce your stress levels, right? And also help develop some of that resilience, right? Yeah. I think it's hard to just tell people not to stress. You know, oftentimes I hear people that are coming through my office saying that, oh, I was told just not to stress, mm-hmm. right? And I don't think that's a good answer, right? We can't just tell people not to stress. We have mm-hmm. to equip them with tools, right, on how to manage stress.
What if your night out could come with a smarter tomorrow? Meet Dayguard, a Korean-inspired functional jelly stick designed to support liver health, hydration, gut balance, and vitamin replenishment when drinking alcohol. With science-backed ingredients like DHM, L-cysteine, prickly pear extract, L-arginine, and B vitamins, each convenient and delicious stick helps your body break down alcohol and reduce next-day sluggishness. Just take one stick before your first drink of the night and support your body's natural recovery so you can wake up refreshed. Get 10% off your first purchase at dayguard.com, that's dayguard.com, with the code FRANZ, that's FRANZ. One-time use and cannot be combined with other codes. What if your home could feel more like you? Meet Emmy, a New York-based home fragrance brand founded in 2020 by Erica and Mark. Inspired by the scents they grew up with, like steamed rice, tropical fruits, and temple incense, Emmy celebrates fragrance as memory, culture, and ritual. From design-forward candles to rediffusers and hand soaps, each product is crafted with clean ingredients, wood wicks, and thoughtful formulations. More than scent, Emmy creates atmosphere and belonging, storytelling in wax, in water, in air. So whether it's lighting a candle or washing your hands, small rituals are transformed into something intentional, making your space warm, alive, and entirely yours. Get 15% off at emmynyc.com. That's emmenyc.com with code FRANZ. That's FRANZ. Find your story, find your atmosphere, find it with Emmy.
And I think with the overdrive that you were mentioning, and I know you mentioned the adrenal glands as well, I think from this came out a buzzword that's also been around, and I'm sure you've heard of it or your patients have mentioned it, adrenal fatigue. What is it? How much of it is a real medical diagnosis? Is it just a buzzword or a fear-mongering tactic? I'm curious.
So adrenal fatigue has been described as this constellation of symptoms when your body is facing maybe some sort of overdrive mm-hmm. where the adrenal glands have impaired function and start leading to this constellation of symptoms of feeling tired, not being able to sleep well, having salt and sugar cravings, maybe running on more caffeine, having more dependency on things like that. But you know, our organs are very good at functioning, you know, and through a lot of these things, like our heart pumps, mm-hmm. right, every day around the clock. Mm-hmm. Our liver is working every day around the clock. Our kidneys are working every day around the clock. Same way your adrenal glands are working every day around the clock, right? And major endocrine societies that I would say are backed by scientific evidence guidelines don't really support or see adrenal fatigue as a real medical disease. Now, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that people who are coming in with certain symptoms, right? Maybe all those symptoms that we described, the fatigue, the cravings, the weight gain, the lack of sleep, are not facing real things. It just might be something else. I think, again, we have to not fall prey to quick fixes, right? If something is being overpromised to you and underdelivered, there's a problem. If someone is mm-hmm. capitalizing on your desperation to find an answer, that's a problem, right? And everyone might have their own selfish motive for that, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone may have a motive for what they're doing, right? But at the end of the day, I tell my patients, you have to advocate for yourself, right?
Yeah.
You're someone going to a doctor's office and you're like, I'm tired. And the doctor checks your labs and goes, you're fine. The labs look normal. You're good. Well, maybe you need a second opinion to go to somebody and be like, hey, I got all of these labs done. Everything seems to be normal, but I'm not quite feeling right. What else can be done? I would really strongly advise patients to advocate for themselves and really find physicians who listen to them, are willing to work with them. Sometimes you may need to dig a little bit deeper, than just surface level things that we find, right? And look for other things that may be contributing. But I think it can be quite dangerous, right? If you fall prey to something like this, which is being talked about because people are selling supplements for it, right? You don't know what's in them. They're not FDA approved. You may be missing a real underlying diagnosis. You may be delaying your treatment. You may have worsening side effects from some of these things. Who knows, right? Yeah. And so I think it's really important to advocate for yourself, talk about what you're experiencing, find a diagnosis that may fit that constellation of symptoms, get the appropriate treatment, get monitored, get followed through the appropriate channels. Like I said, you know, I think social media is fantastic for education, but I think we have to remember, especially what I faced in the field of endocrinology, is it seems to be ravaged with misinformation and disinformation.
Yep.
It's so complicated, and it's taken me, you know, 4 years of college, right? 4 years of medical school, 3 years of residency, 2 years of fellowship, 3 board exams to stand up and be like, I am triple boarded. And even most of us who will come out as endocrinologists will be like, oh my gosh, this is very complicated. There's never a totally black and white yes or no answer. A lot of times it's a gray area and it's extremely complicated. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you really have to dig deeper. I also think sometimes valuing a physician who may say, I don't know, I'm not sure, is okay, because that might be a very honest answer that they're giving you, right? It might be much easier for someone to just tell you, of course it's this. Mm-hmm. It might be more complicated than that.
Yeah, that's so beautifully said. And it's so true. I think the landscape of medicine has definitely changed for sure, right? With the rise of social media and with the rise of AI and search features, where the general public asking their questions in a more accessible form. And it's a very, I guess, more of a generalized approach as opposed to the individual approach that one-to-one care with a physician can provide, right? And I guess from there arises a lot of these conversations and buzzwords and misinformation and disinformation and all of the fear-mongering. And you know, you're right. I believe in the value of physicians saying, I don't know, right? Or let's dig deeper. But for the next round and one of the final rounds of our conversation, your answer cannot be I don't know, because it's a speed this or that round. So you'll have to choose one. Let's see. I'm excited to hear what you'll say. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay, what is it? Fight or flight?
Fight.
Ooh, feisty. Adrenaline or serotonin?
Ooh, adrenaline.
What's more unpredictable, cortisol or Wi-Fi?
I'm dead. Cortisol.
Oxytocin. Is it a love hormone or a chaos hormone?
Ooh, let's say love.
If you had to choose, too much caffeine or not enough sleep?
Ooh, oh my gosh. Too much caffeine.
Oh, okay, jittery. Cheat meal or cheat nap?
Cheat meal.
Hot flashes or cold sweats?
Ooh, hot flash. Because they'll end.
There we go. Endorphins from running or dopamine from Instagram likes?
Ooh, I'm not much of a runner, so we'll go from dopamine.
Hormonal acne or mood swings?
No. Well, I've struggled with hormonal acne, so here we go.
Here we go. Metabolism of a teenager or wisdom of an adult?
Oh, wisdom of an adult.
I love that. Hey, thank you for answering those. We talked a lot today about, again, all the playing fields within the field of endocrinology, from the hormones and to the conversations that we see online, and the importance of sticking to science-backed conversations and recommendations. And I guess truly the importance of sometimes a more not so complex approach to life and more of just meditation and walking outside and, you know, as the Gen Zs would say, touch some grass, go outside and touch some grass, which is so true. And I can't imagine how rewarding it feels for you as an endocrinologist when someone comes in after. And I guess what I noticed with an endocrinology patients are like years and years of running and questioning and finding for the answer, because it's such a complex field, right? For example, working in cardiology, I mean, definitely it's a complex organ with its more mechanical and electrical side, but more often than not, like, we're getting to the point where we're finding out what's going on. But with endocrinology, there's so many factors into play, right? And I'm sure it's so rewarding when you finally get to a point where like, oh, I think this is something that we can try, or this might be a possible answer. I'm curious, is there one story or experience from your work throughout the years that instantly make you think, this is why I do what I do.
That's a tough one. You know, I wouldn't say it's just one experience because I think about all of my patients I see every day kind of flashing by. I just ask this question. You know, I remember my patient who was living with diabetes, who had COVID, was passing away. His mother couldn't be there. And I was asked to hold his hand while he was passing. I remember my patient who walked in after several miscarriages, finally with her baby in her hand and the joy I saw on her face. I remember my patient who was living with obesity, who transformed her health and then became a healthcare advocate. I remember my patient who came into my office and could not figure out why she was having this brain fog and finally realized it was perimenopause. You know, I remember my patient who was on 28 injections of insulin and finally is on none because of new therapies and is not defined by this disease process, right? And I think the beauty of endocrinology is that I can be present during people's transitions through life, right? Whether that's the beginning, middle, or end, and seeing them really transform through those phases. And I think it's truly a privilege to be there by their side at all of these points.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Yeah, thank you so much for joining me today and talking about your beautiful field. But beyond that, I think just the beauty and the human condition and all of its cracks and flaws. But at the end of the day, I think when we seek help and when we seek the care that we need, leads to something beautiful and long lasting. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Christian. We need more people like you out there spreading the correct evidence-based information. So thank you for having me. Really, really appreciate you. Yes. And yay. I hope everyone listening has learned something new.
Yes. And I'll see you at Thai food soon.